This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. So most times when I'm looking at the week's readings, I have one that calls to me. But I had a real dilemma this week because I love all three of the readings. Although we kind of shortened the first one, and I like the second part that we didn't read, which is about God was not in the volcano or the earthquake or the storm. God was in the silence. God was in the silence. So I'll do a shout out for centering prayer because it's really quite amazing that when we get together and we're quiet. How about turning off your phone, Mary Ellen? Because there's a lot of chatter that goes on our phones, right? And also, how do we deliberately carve out time for quiet moments? This is really good because then we can hear the voice of God and we can be able to get ourselves balanced and in the right mindset. So that's a very great reading. The next one from Galatians, the fact that there's no distinction between Jew and Greek, it's slave and free, male and female. I think it's so important, too, that we had Juneteenth last week, and we're going to have this 4th of July, and they both, and also Passover, all of these are holidays of freedom. And so how can we become free? And with Jesus, it's not only physically free, it's free from sin and free from bad choices, I would say, as well. So that's a pretty big ask. But how do we see each person as a child of God and made in the image of God? I was reading something about a millennial expert, and I said last night to the service, I said, I don't know, Gen X, Gen Z, millennials. I do know I'm a baby boomer. But besides that, and my parents were the greatest generation, right? But I have to say that a millennial expert, Tim Elmore, said he was walking around a college campus and he saw two students that were disagreeing about a political issue. And he said, of course, that's nothing new, but what was sad to him is that neither of those knew how to have civil discourse. Civil discourse. And how important it is that you have more logic than emotion. More logic than emotion. And what he watched was there was more talking than listening, right? And then he said the other person was like waiting for the other person to say something that they could challenge and say was wrong. Instead of listening. So he said that neither one of them wanted to compromise or learn. And how sad is that? They don't want to improve themselves. We can improve ourselves with discourse. They only wanted to prove themselves right. So he says part of maturation is understanding and caring for a world beyond our own. I really like that. I thought that was true. So how do we listen to one another without judgment? And how do we listen with love and include Jesus in our conversations, that we are acting like him, that we are filled with him? According to science, you know we change every 7 years. You do know that, right? So we're not the same. We're constantly rebuilding ourselves. So we become a different person every single day. So we have a choice of how we respond to challenges. And we all have a choice to practice empathy and self-discipline and follow Christ. But then we get to the meat of today. Must be pork, right? I was a little disappointed because in the Luke version, it doesn't tell you that it's 2,000 pigs. Just imagine, 2,000 pigs. And it gives you a whole different mindset because that's very valuable, right? That was their livelihood. So just imagine that. So he runs off after he has taken this whole thing with this man and healed him. Then they say, you can go now. Please leave. I mean, that was the one. You know, every time you read these stories, you get something out of it differently. And that's what I really was hit with, that this is such an important encounter because it's obviously in a Gentile area. And I was watching a video one time, this was a couple months ago, that there are some scholars that believe that Jesus traveled all the way to Spain to encounter the pigs, because there wouldn't have been pigs across the Sea of Galilee, this guy was arguing. So, I don't know. I just know that it was probably, he was in Gentile land, and so other people think that it's in the Decapolis, moving to the Decapolis. But it's really interesting because, you know, the man is naked and he's in the tombs and he's completely enslaved by these spirits. And there's apparently a legion. And a legion in those days, according to my husband, because he cares about Roman soldiers and I don't, 4,000 to 6,000 men would have been a legion. So that's a lot of evil, a lot of evil. So Jesus then heals the man, and it's real interesting. He has a conversation with the evil spirits. They say, please don't send us back to the abyss. And so he looks around and he sees these pigs, 2,000, and he sends the evil spirits into the pigs, and the pigs run off the cliff and die. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. This is incredible, isn't it? And it's interesting because most of the scholars say this is a story of materialism, because the people are more upset about losing their livelihood than they are that this man has been healed. And I have to say, we all have to understand that, right? It's scary when you lose your livelihood. I have two very close people to me that have just already gone through a transition with their jobs, and it's frightening. But I have a feeling sometimes, one time I have a dear friend that lost a job that I was working with, and she got a better job. So you just have to continue to pray for hope and hope that that happens with people, that they're able to keep going and really believe and have faith and hope. So, but I was asked the question to myself, what are we afraid about God? Because I think Jesus, as comforting and wonderful as he is, scares us. I think there's an element of fear. And you know, that great prophet Oprah Winfrey says, you either act out of fear or love. You either act out of fear or love. And how we must, following Jesus, we must follow love. We must follow love. So we have to decide, are we able to face the fact that we change all the time? We don't like change, but it's going to happen whether or not we like it. We are going to change. I'm different from when I walked in this place. You are too. We all are different at all times. So it's interesting, we hold on to our narratives and we don't let them go. So how do we live a new life closer to Jesus in the way? One of my favorite people is a woman named Caroline Mace. And she actually was a Catholic nun, and then she left to become a medical intuit. And she has such an interesting philosophy. She calls it woundology. She believes that people define themselves by their past traumas and wounds, rather than focusing on their strength and potential for healing. She argues why people don't heal and how they can, that this attitude of holding on to the past hinders your healing. It hinders your healing. And it creates a sense of being stuck in a victim mentality. So she says, if you define yourself by your wounds, whether it's physical or emotional or social, it becomes your entire identity. And it can manifest in a constant focus of past hurts and being defined by them. Rather, you're not able to move forward. She believes that people may unconsciously sabotage their own healing with that. And this can prevent them from embracing positive change and getting into well-being, being content. She feels that it's very, very important for us to know that life isn't fair. How many of you had mothers like I did that said that a lot? Yep, life is not fair. It isn't. I mean, sometimes you look at it and you say, wow, that's really unbalanced. But it's the way it is. And she believes that can be, that you have a sense of powerlessness. And I have seen this so often with people, that you feel so powerless that you don't even think you have choices in life. And we have a lot more choices than we think we do. I think I've told you this before, so forgive me if you've heard it before, but I remember with my students, I was talking about choice and how important their choices were and how it was so necessary to really think about them and that we all have more choices than we think. We have more options. And I said, like, you don't have to be in this room learning. And you know what they said to me? Oh, yes, we do. My parents would kill us. I said, yeah, but you really do have a choice. You are compliant. You come in here. You want to learn, hopefully. And this is an essential part of growing up. But some people might say, no, I don't want to do that. So you have choices in life. And Carolyn Mace would say, you have more choices than you realize. So in essence, what we're talking about here is, how do we not limit ourselves? How do we make ourselves feel like we could take on the world by not holding us back from past things that have occurred? The good news, we can learn how to compensate for our trauma, and that Jesus shows us how to be with each other and how to live his way. How you look to Jesus determines the outcomes of your days. I really believe that. And we have a choice. We can clothe ourselves, like the naked man who was evil, obsessed, and taken over by the evil spirits. That's a very profound metaphor, that he's naked, and then after Jesus heals him, he is clothed. And I would say he's clothed in the love of Jesus, in the bright future, in the hope. We have a choice to live in love and acceptance. We have a choice that we can live in his perfect love. Richard Rohr says, finally, perfect love casts out all fear. And he quotes from the letter of John, the first letter of John, in love there can be no fear. Fear is driven out by perfect love. To fear is to still expect punishment. Anyone who is still afraid is still imperfect in the ways of love. So let's not be afraid. Let us love and drive out fear and know that you have to put on the right clothes, the clothes of Christ. And before I close, I wanted to do, for obvious reasons of our world this moment, a general prayer for peace. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Oh God, we pray for peace in our world. We pray for an end to violence and conflict, for an end to hatred and division. We pray for wisdom and compassion for all leaders and people. May your love and peace reign in our hearts and in the world. Amen.
Amen.
And you will hear that prayer again this morning.